This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Gurriel and Espinal score. Jansen in as well. Tapia to the plate. And it is a grand slam inside the park from Raimel Tapia. Wow.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's the Adam Gold Show. I'm Adam Gold. Dennis Cox is here. Nice. Little stadium organ music. Baseball's really the only sport that needs an official scorer, right? We have somebody has to determine who gets credit for what. Although I guess like in basketball, who got the rebound, was there a block shot? But basically, there are like arbitrary decisions that need to be made in baseball. Mm-hmm. Was that a hit or an error? You know, fielder probably should have made the play, but I have this guy on my fantasy team, so I'm giving him a hit.
Of course.
There might be situations in the history of baseball where an inside-the-park home run did not have the benefit of somebody screwing up. But I don't remember it happening. Every single instance of an inside-the-park home run has a mistake built into it. And that one should have been an out. And in fact, if it should have been an out, it deserves no inside-the-park home run.
Four base error.
There has to be an error. No, give him a hit, right?
No,
give him a hit. Give him a double. Not only did the center fielder in that particular play, which I saw, not only did the center fielder misjudge the ball by 70 feet. Obviously never saw it, right? Lost it off the bat, never tracked it, came in. I don't think the ball got all the way to the warning track, if I recall. But it landed, you know, basically in, you know, relatively deep left, you know, center field. But he didn't even bother go after the ball. When he realized it was over his head, he just sort of stood there and watched it. I'm like, dude, do you care? Red Sox fans could not have been happy. By the way, they lost that game 28-5.
28-5?
Yep.
Well, at least I got a safety.
If I have this correct, at the time of the inside the park home run, it was already 10-0 Toronto in the third. I think that was what I saw. I might not have seen that. They might have flashed the score at the bottom. It might have been 9-0, and then that made it 10. That might have been the case. But almost every inside the park home run has the benefit of a mistake. Those that are guys trying to make a play to get an out and the ball just gets past you, yeah, I can live with those. Mm-hmm. But that one, you can't give anybody a home run on that. You just can't. But good for Tapia, I guess. Anyway, all right, the question Dennis put out, normally at 1 o'clock we ask you questions and you give us answers, but this is a question I asked of Dennis earlier today, and this is my point regarding the availability of Jimmy Garoppolo, and we were told that there is no market at all by the folks from Football Outsiders, no market at all for Jimmy G. Why not? I mean, he's a competent NFL starting quarterback. There are teams without bona fide, competent starting NFL quarterbacks. For instance, the Carolina Panthers. Mm. So, and I think I brought this up on Friday. If I told you that it wouldn't cost you very much against the salary cap, and you wouldn't have to give up very much, would you make that deal? Would you trade a mid-round pick to San Francisco for Jimmy G if it only cost you about $5 million on the cap? Would you do that? And if you said no, then I want to know why you said yes to Baker Mayfield. Because it's the identical situation. Mayfield is better than Darnold, right?
Yeah.
Right? Mayfield's better than Darnold. We can debate all day long by how much, but I think he's better than Darnold.
My one question is, where do you find a roster spot for him, though? Because you can't just offload Darnold because it's a dead cap hit.
Well, you can if you trade him.
Who wants to take it?
Well, I don't know, but...
Exactly.
Go through the process. Hey, you can eat some of Darnold's salary cap.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can send Darnold somewhere. Send him to... Send him to the Giants.
Houston. Houston, right? Needs a starting quarterback.
There's a lot of teams that need starting quarterbacks.
The Commanders.
So, yeah. They've only got Carson Wentz, who's bad.
Yeah.
But this is really the mental exercise. This is not... I'm not saying, hey, the Panthers really could use Jimmy Garoppolo. He's better than Baker Mayfield as a starting quarterback. He's not awesome, but he's better than Baker Mayfield as a starting quarterback. He has accomplished more as a quarterback than Baker Mayfield has accomplished as a quarterback. I think Mayfield is better than Darnold. I think Garoppolo is better than Mayfield. And if we are interested in taking incremental steps to get better, then why should we stop at Mayfield? And that has been my point. But what I did find out, Dennis, when you put the poll out, is that you are followed by a lot of Panthers fans.
That's right. Keep pounding.
Right. They're so excited to have somebody not named Sam Darnold as the starting quarterback. They have automatically decided, well, Mayfield's better than Jimmy G. Not really. Now, he's younger. He's younger than Garoppolo. That's the difference. But he's not necessarily better. Now, he was during the pandemic year. Baker was very good during the pandemic year. He actually looked like he was about to become the guy. And then Cleveland decided he wasn't. Cleveland decided that they were going to essentially light $230 million on fire for Deshaun Watson. Like, it's just guaranteed money. It's just awesome. But that's my point. That's all. Not trying to say that the Panthers need Jimmy G. They don't. But they also didn't need Baker Mayfield. And in fact, if they had waited till today, they didn't trade for Mayfield. Who would you rather have push Sam Darnold for the starting job?
Who would I rather have?
Like, it's Darnold or Baker, Darnold or Garoppolo.
Garoppolo.
Right. Like, you don't have to give the answer that I would give, right?
Yeah.
But my point is simply that you're not going from Darnold to Mahomes.
No.
You're going from Darnold to somebody who's better than Darnold. And nobody will dispute it. But that's not what they're doing. I mean, fine. They're going. I'm not even slamming the move. They got better at the position. And that's good. They got better at that spot. But they didn't get so much better that they should start printing playoff tickets. So tomorrow on the program, we're starting a new feature. We're going to get you ready for each team in the NFL. There are 31 shows left. 31 shows between now and the start of the season on that Thursday night.
Well, that, if you count that Thursday, Thursday will be the 32nd show.
Okay.
Yes.
So starting tomorrow, mm-hmm. we're going to do a different team and get you ready for that team every single show.
Oh, yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. Do we know what team we're doing tomorrow?
We have not fully said it yet.
Okay. So we have to do that. Mm-hmm. And then I think we're going to start with the first road game.
Well, it'd be the New York Giants.
We're going to do that like in 3 days or something like
yes.
that, right? Thursday will be the first road game will be the Giants. So I'm mm-hmm. looking forward to that. And I believe 2:30 every day is when we're going to get you ready for that particular team. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value. Or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta. ACC Media Days last week. We only need 2 days. The SEC needs more than 2 days. Because, you know what? It just means more. That's what I've been told. Barrett Salee from CBSSports.com. He was at Hoover, Alabama. He was there for the madness. Funniest answer was Jimbo Fisher's to the fast talker, right?
It was up there. There's no doubt about it. But Jimbo is the fastest talker I've ever encountered. I tell you what, between Jimbo Fisher and Gus Malzahn at that Florida State-Auburn national championship game, it was a reporter's worst nightmare because you couldn't keep up.
I mean, I would like to hear Jimbo Fisher and Steve Spurrier have a heated conversation.
No, it would be off the hook. You would not be able to understand what either one of them are saying.
All right, I want to start here. They said they buried the hatchet. How is it possible that Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher actually are cool with each other based on all of the things that Fisher said, insinuating that Saban's been cheating for years? I mean, how does that work?
Well, it's funny because we asked Jimbo Fisher about that in our CBS digital room on Thursday. And what he said, we specifically asked him, how do you make up with somebody who you called a narcissist? And Jimbo says, well, we're both from West Virginia. We can throw hands, and then the next day we can be having beers together. And I don't know if that's a really good answer, but it's a funny answer. And look, they're not going to be good friends, and they're probably still angry at each other. But I think cooler heads prevailed. I think Nick feels badly about specifically calling out Texas A&M. I don't necessarily think he actually meant to do that at the meeting of the business leaders. Jimbo, I think, reacted emotionally. In retrospect, I don't think he feels good about calling that press conference the morning after. But, you know, they buried the hatchet. You know, it's going to take a little time. But, I think both of those guys are still going to be cordial with each other. And then let's be honest, if we're talking about two guys not liking each other, I know countless head coaches who flat out hate some of the assistants that they hired, but they're good coaches, so they deal with it.
Right. Look, I actually think it wouldn't hurt the sport of college football if we had a few more coaches who publicly didn't like other coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Go back and look when Lane was at Tennessee that 1 year. And then Urban got into it to a point where Mike Clive, then SEC commissioner, sat them down in Destin and basically said, y'all cool it, y'all cut it out, and any of you other coaches who are thinking about doing this, don't. It would be more fun, like the Spurrier Philip Fulmer days where, you know, you can't smell citrus without UT. You know, those days are fun. They're gone, but they're fun.
That Spurrier also said about Peyton Manning. He came back, he wanted to be, like a repeat MVP at the Citrus Bowl or something silly like that, man. Look, I love that stuff. I think that stuff's good for college football. We'll see how, you know, as long as most of it is essentially good-natured ribbing, I think there was a lot of truth to what Jimbo Fisher had to say. But before I get to the commissioner, Greg Sankey here, I thought the worst thing Saban said that day when he essentially called out Texas A&M was calling out Jackson State. Like, why are you beefing down?
Yeah, you know, I think Nick was, he regrets all of that. Right. And I think Nick tried to explain it away a little bit in some of the rooms, including ours, that he didn't know cameras were around in that meeting.
Right.
And he should know better. And he does know better. That's the thing is, if that was the case, and honestly, I buy what Nick Saban's selling. I do think that he regrets all that. And I do think that he did not realize that there were cameras rolling in that meeting. But, you know, he should know better. And I don't know how many times we've seen and heard coaches say things that are insightful, that are offensive.
Yeah.
In different settings where they don't think cameras are present. And it still happens, and I don't understand why. You know, whether it be, you know, booster clubs on the rubber chicken circuit or, you know, under a hot mic when they don't think cameras are rolling. I think it's just sometimes these guys forget, and, they should know better.
Yeah, you know, it's not just sports. It's everywhere. Like, unless yeah. Everybody's phones have been confiscated, there's a camera. Somebody's got a camera. It is going to show
100%.
Up. And it got Antonio Brown when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Somebody had a camera phone it might have been Antonio Brown's camera phone. Barrett Salih from CBSSports.com is joining us. How many leagues have legitimately two playoff contenders and maybe even a third if things break?
I would say just one, and that's the SEC. I think with the ACC, if DJ plays well, then they're going to be in. But I think when you look at the Big Ten, outside of Ohio State, is there one that has that elite level of talent? No. Pac-12, of course not. The Big 12, I mean, it's hard for me to buy into Oklahoma. And then, I firmly believe that you can make a case for any of the top six teams in the Big 12 to make the playoff or at least win the conference championship. But if that's the case, then it's probably going to cannibalize itself. So it would just be the SEC. That's kind of par for the course these days.
It really is. And that's why you'll see Alabama and Georgia. And I guess the third team is Texas A&M. If, I don't know, is there a third team that you would put ahead of Texas A&M?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would put Ole Miss up there. I think Ole Miss is going to be really, really good. They upgraded at running back. They've got a more versatile set of receivers, pass catchers. I think the defense only has to be adequate. They've got a pretty solid offensive line, and the quarterback situation they're very comfortable with. So I would definitely pick Ole Miss. I don't think A&M is going to live up and even come close to living up to that hype. I think they're an 8-4 team, which is – pretty much par for the course for a Jimbo Fisher team. I don't think they are set at quarterback. And I think in the SEC and in college football in general, you got to have 9 or 10 defensive linemen. And if they're going to do that, they're going to end up having to have 3 or 4, perhaps even 5 true freshmen contribute. And I don't care how talented they are. And all those guys are talented. They're still true freshmen. They're still, you know, young men, you know, playing in an old man's position,
right?
That, especially in a conference that is as physical and as deep as the SEC.
Well, according to Nick Saban, Texas A&M spent a lot of money on that recruiting class. Well, I'll just make the joke for Nick Saban. Barrett Salih, CBSSports.com, who was at SEC Media Days, was Greg Sankey like the most at ease you have ever seen him? Because it seems like everything has come up aces for him. He pulls an inside straight somewhere, Texas and Oklahoma decide, you know what, we want to be in your league. How do you turn that down? So is he in as good a position as anybody?
He's definitely in as good a position as anybody. You know, I think he was potentially a little bit more at ease when Alabama and Georgia first met in the national championship game back here in Atlanta. But, yeah, I mean, he certainly is comfortable with where he is. And that's the thing is, you know, I think he came out and said what I think a lot of people internally, both in the SEC office and the you know, the athletic departments around the conference have been saying for a long time, is that they are – completely fine with 16 teams, with Texas and Oklahoma joining. They don't care who else goes anywhere, save for, you know, Notre Dame going to the Big Ten. You know, the SEC, like every conference, probably has an invitation and an open invitation to Notre Dame, as they should, but that's not realistic in the SEC, and Greg knows that. So with the new money kicking in, you know, in a couple years of the new TV deal and nabbing two teams, two extremely high-profile teams, story teams from the Big 12. The SEC is very comfortable. I think when you look around the rest of the landscape, the ACC is kind of looking at a side eye at all their teams. The Big 10 clearly is in expansion mode, so they're, you know, kind of feeling out everybody else. And then the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are probably going to battle out each other to figure out who's going to be the aggressor and who's going to be, you know, eaten up. So, yeah, there's no doubt. Greg Sankey is in a very good place.
So, because I actually think that if it's not Notre Dame, who would the Big Ten add? I think when it all shakes out, when the Big Ten's TV deals are done and the SEC new media kicks in, I actually think the Big Ten will probably pay out a little bit more per school than the SEC. Why would they have to expand? I think both conferences are essentially – done until Notre Dame makes a move. No?
Oh, yeah. I think that's exactly right. And if it's not Notre Dame, where else, who else out there can provide roughly $100 million worth of value? Because that's an estimated number, yeah, in terms of how much each team's going to get paid out. Who can bring that? There's not really anybody. You could make a case maybe for Washington, just because of its location and the amount of money around them. Maybe you can make a case for North Carolina because that's a very desirable school, but I don't know if it's $100 million a year desirable. So, yeah, I mean, I think right now both conferences are pretty much set. I think the Big Ten is certainly going to be aggressive with Notre Dame. But, yeah, I mean, beyond that, you're going to ask certain teams to potentially take a pay cut based on what the projections are right now, and I don't think that'll fly.
Barrett Salee is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show from CBSSports.com, also SiriusXM. So we spent time at ACC Media Day, and I spent time listening to people talk about how this school, they were going to go, with the guy from Swim Swam, who covers swimming, was up in Philadelphia, had four schools in negotiation with the SEC, and ESPN was going to tear up the contract with the ACC, and all of that stuff is just blather. How much conversation was there at the SEC Media Day about other leagues?
Very little. Yeah. You know, people wanted to ask about it, you know, mostly just of Greg Sankey, just because he's the only one whose opinions matter. You know, coaches don't care. Coaches aren't, you know, coaches could tell us anything they want. They have no idea what they're talking about. So, yeah, there really wasn't anything about conference realignment other than when are Texas and Oklahoma going to be allowed in? Because obviously 2025 is, you know, at the latest, but with all the other dominoes that are falling, that obviously is up for debate. But Greg does what Greg does. He always says he's not going to get into hypotheticals. And his answer was they're scheduled to join in 2025. No matter what the question was, they're scheduled to join in 2025. So, yeah, there really wasn't much. I mean, I know in ACC there was, like I said, kind of kind of the side eye to everybody kind of looking around going, well, what are you up to these days? In the SEC, nobody cared.
Do you think they'll come earlier?
Yeah, I would say 2024, just because at that point, the Big 12 will already have established its new membership. Every other domino around them would have fallen, and the new TV deal for the SEC would kick in. So that just, it makes more sense that way. Could it be next year? Yeah, it could be, but I think for 2024, it just seems like a good place to sort of cut bait, pay the exit fee, whatever it is at that point, prorated, and move on. It'd just be clean. I mean, you don't want to have a beefed up Big 12 with four new members, including Texas and Oklahoma, sticking around if you don't have to. I mean, it'll happen one year, fine, but it's just the stability portion of it. And the you know, at some point you move on, right?
Yeah.
If you're getting a divorce, you know, yeah, you might pay a little bit more to get out of it early because you just want to move on. And I think that's probably where it's going to end up.
Yeah, I mean, it'll also be just one more year of the grant of rights to pay, because each of the leagues that have had that has seen teams move on has to deal with a grant of rights. And the reason I ask that, because the ACC has one through 2036. My feeling is that I don't think you'll see any movement in the ACC, or at least any announcement, unless somebody decides to challenge it, until we get close to the end, where the long-term pain is not going to cause too much anguish. Barrett Salee, when you and I were agreeing on a time to do this, you promised me the Braves would be in first place by today. It's okay. It might happen soon anyway. As a Mets fan, I have great respect for your squad. So I appreciate your baseball tweets on Twitter.
Well, look, no offense, but there's one thing in Atlanta we can count on more than anything else, is that at some point, the Mets are always going to go full Mets. We don't know when, but it's going to happen.
All right, I got nothing for that. I got nothing for that, Barrett. All right, man, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much, man.
See you, Adam.
Peace. Like, what? Why? Why do we have to be that way as Braves fans? I understand it's true. I get it.
Yeah.
It happens. But maybe this year it won't. Right?
Probably not.
All right.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
And now, your halftime entertainment.
Just 1 minute on the board today. So something you and I have discussed often on Halftime Entertainment is the changing landscape of how people consume media.
Yeah.
And where properties are being viewed and how people are actually putting their content out there for people to consume. The latest being, or one of the that we talked about, the NFL and Sunday Ticket. This is the last season that DirecTV is going to have NFL Sunday Ticket. The NFL has announced they will go to a streaming service for NFL Sunday Ticket. Now, which one is it? Not entirely sure. Disney, because they own ESPN, has been rumored. Amazon has apparently been in the deal. Now, the front runner for a long time, I believe, has been Apple.
Uh-huh.
Now, Apple TV just got into the sports game with their rights with MLS. But apparently, there's a new player that has thrown their hat into the ring, I guess you could say. Google apparently has put in a bid for NFL Sunday Ticket. Now, NFL is looking for at least $2.5 billion per year. $2.5 billion per year. It's an increase of about $1 billion that DirecTV currently spends on Sunday Ticket.
Well, I mean, the guy who owns Google has it.
Yeah. Yeah. These companies, Amazon, Apple, Google, Disney, they have it. Now,
the platform that Google will use would be YouTube, because Google owns YouTube. So it would be a great platform to use. I don't know if they would make it part of YouTube TV or if it's just a separate service that you would need to buy. Not entirely sure.
You would have to get a subscription to YouTube. It won't be on YouTube TV. Can't imagine.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know it would be that, or if you pay that extra service, is it available on YouTube TV for whatever cost that it would be to get it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be an a la carte.
Yes.
It's not going to be included with anything. It's going to be an a la carte if you want a Sunday ticket.
Yeah.
If they go to Google. But yeah, it would be a YouTube channel that you would have to essentially pay for.
Yeah. But I just didn't know like how. For people access that have YouTube TV that just open the app up on their television, would there just be channels available if I do subscribe to it, if that makes sense?
I mean, I guess that's theoretically that is possible. Yeah.
That's the only thing I was thinking of. So anyway.
Yeah, but they're not going to tie it to being a YouTube TV customer.
No. You would still have to pay the extra, but I'm just trying to think of the access to it. Nevertheless, Google has a potential player. Now, this also comes off of the heels of an announcement the NFL made today for their new streaming service, because everyone has to have one now.
Right.
It's called NFL Plus. Now, NFL Plus, it's $5 a month, essentially. It's $4.99. Or you can just buy it for a year for $40, which isn't a terrible deal if it's what you want.
Right.
Now, NFL Plus includes all of the... You can watch every preseason game, whether it's out of market or not, because, yes, that's what we want. We want those preseason games.
Preseason. Well, I mean, if you're a Steelers fan, right?
Yeah.
So what is the Steelers' first preseason game?
I don't know.
Well, maybe you're not a Steelers fan then.
I am.
So when that game is on, since most of the preseason games are only showed locally,
yeah,
you'll be able to watch that.
So NFL Plus will give you live and live out-of-market preseason games all across all devices, so you can watch it on your phone, tablet, laptop, whatever it may be. You also get, during the NFL season, you get live local and primetime games on mobile and tablet devices.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, you might be out doing something with your family. You can just have NFL Plus, and you can watch, let's say, the Panthers play. If you're within the market, whatever games are showing in the market, so you have to use a location. Now, I'm wondering if you use the VPN, will you be able to, let's say for me as a Steelers fan, can I potentially just put myself in, Elwood City, Pennsylvania, which is just outside of Pittsburgh?
You might.
And watch, the Steelers games when they're not on.
You might.
Yes. So that is a possibility. Anyway, so you get live local, and you get all the primetime games available on your mobile and tablet devices. You also get live game audio, home, away, and national calls for every game of the NFL season. So you could be traveling somewhere, but you want to listen to the local Steelers or local Kansas City Chiefs broadcast of a game. You can do that. You also get NFL library programming on demand that is ad-free. And again, it's only $5 a month. $40 a year. But also, they have an NFL Plus premium package, Adam.
What?
Because we have to have a premium package. So it features everything that NFL Plus has.
Right.
But you also get full game replays across devices. You also can watch condensed game replays. And if you want to, you can get that All-22 coaches film.
Oh, so that's the stuff that they were making you pay extra for on NFL.com?
Yeah.
All right.
That's all of it.
It's fine. That's good.
So anyway,
I'm sure that there are people who would pay for that.
I'm sure there are.
I mean, I'm not, but that's fine.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah.
So this weekend was a big one if you're a Marvel fan or DC Comics fan or just a fan of the shows and movies in general, because
right.
San Diego Comic-Con was taking place. Now, at San Diego Comic-Con, they have what's called one of the big hall rooms. So if you go to, like, for example, the Charlotte Convention Center or the Raleigh Convention Center, they have Hall A, Hall B, Hall C.
Okay.
These different rooms and that you have different stuff taking place. Well, at San Diego Comic-Con, Hall H is the big one. Okay. Now, they actually have shown videos of people lined up to get into Hall H during Comic-Con.
Uh-huh.
It looks like Krzyzewskiville, like getting ready for UNC
people
Carolina.
People camping out?
Oh, dead serious. 100%. People line up just to go to just Hall H because that's where DC, Warner Brothers, as well as Disney, Marvel have their big announcements for their films, TV right. shows, and all kinds of stuff. That's where they get first looks at trailers, whatever it may be. So DC showed some early footage of Black Adam and some of their other properties. Even The Rock showed up in full costume. There's also
really?
Been, yeah, he showed up in full costume at it as well. There's been discussions about if Henry Cavill's still going to continue to play Superman. They teased if he's going to show up in the next Shazam movie as well as Black Adam. So a lot of teasing regarding that. But Disney dropped, with Marvel, dropped their lineup, or most of their lineup, through Phase 6 of their Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're in Phase 4 currently. Phase 6 runs through 2025. They've announced there are two more things set to come out this year for Phase 4. That's going to end Phase 4. Phase 5 has 13 different properties, whether it's Disney Plus shows or movies that are going to drop between 2023 and 2024 over those 2 years. 13 different. Yes, including what I'm very much looking for, Daredevil Born Again.
You started this whole thing with this was a very good weekend for Marvel or DC.
Yeah, for fans.
Based on those numbers that you provided, it's almost hard for this, for any weekend to not be a good weekend.
Yeah.
For Marvel or DC Comics.
Yeah.
So just with saying.
These, just, but as a fan, they released all this stuff. Now in September, oh, by the way, Phase 6, we're getting Fantastic Four. Very much looking forward to that.
Man.
And there have been also other, they just called them untitled films with certain dates set. Now, Disney has their D23, which takes place in September, which I'm sure we're going to get even more content and stuff from this. But anyway, if you're a fan of these properties and you enjoy consuming them as much as I do, it was a very fun weekend, to say the least.
I bet.
Yes. It was a great time. You're like not amused at all by any of this.
No, it's fun. Well, as soon as you say Marvel or DC Comics,
you check out. It's fine.
I just scrolling to see who's the next player who's left for live.
Oh, okay.
It's fine. People need this information.
They do.
Right? It doesn't matter if I need this information or not. People need this information, and while you're giving it to them, I will see if Charles Barkley has agreed to go to LIV Golf.
That was actually something I was going to bring up.
There you go.
So Charles Barkley, this is my last thing for Halftime Entertainment, that Barkley is in negotiations with LIV, and I know he's playing in their Pro-Am coming up. If I remember correctly.
I believe the program might be tomorrow.
Yes.
So, yes, he is going to play in the Pro-Am, and the tournament starts on Thursday. And my guess is that he's going to accept. He has to decide. And I read an article that Barkley speaks openly about this.
Mm-hmm.
And now some of the stuff that he said about blood money and all that, I think he's not 100% right about some of that stuff, but it doesn't matter. And again, we have talked about this, whether it's too much or enough or whatever. We've talked about this for long enough. I have never used the source of the money other than to say it's endless.
Mm-hmm.
I've never used the source of the money as a reason to not go. I've never done that. I didn't criticize David Faraday for doing this. I won't criticize Charles Barkley for doing this. There are serious ramifications, though, based on how many companies Barkley does commercials for.
Yeah.
So, and he has openly talked about it. Will he lose his relationship with, let's just say, Subway? Will he lose that relationship? Will he lose his relationship with TNT? He has openly discussed whether or not they will allow him to do both. I don't know what the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
If Barkley is allowed to do both, I will not watch Inside the NBA and go, hey, there's Barkley. He's taking money from the I'm not going to do that. I'm going to watch Barkley because he's great.
Yeah. We also got to wonder if TNT, if they get backlash from sponsors saying, well, hey, that guy's taking.
And if they do, Charles Barkley will move on.
Yeah.
And he might move on his own. He might not say, hey, TNT decided to move on from me. He will fall on the sword because if he takes the deal from Liv, it's because the phrase he used about a month ago, for $200 million, I would kill a relative. He used that, right?
Yeah.
And he actually said, I would kill a relative I liked for $200 million. I don't believe the offer would be for that, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was $50 million a year.
I just wonder what he would do.
And for $50 million a year, yeah. What would he do?
Yeah.
He would take the $50 million a year. I mean, Barkley wasn't.
No, I meant, like, what would he actually do with Liv? Like, what would his role
be?
Be
a golf commentator.
All right.
Who cares? Like, Barkley's just entertaining, and he understands the game.
True.
Like, so all of those really, really horrible matches that have been on TV the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger and Phil, and then now Tiger and Peyton versus Phil and Tom Brady. All of these matches. Barkley has been one of the lead analysts. He loves golf. He gets it. Okay. You don't have to have been a former player to be a good analyst. I think Barkley would be great. And if Liv decides that they want Charles Barkley on their broadcast and it's worth it to them, then they're going to pay him and he'll do it. And we'll figure out the other stuff later, unless Barkley doesn't want to leave the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, he might turn down Liv. But he's playing in the Pro-Am today or this week. So my guess is he's going to accept that offer, which again is fine. Is fine. All right, Dennis Cox, I know you've been on quite a roll, so you're going to have to impress all of us when we place our bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
All right, sir. First of all, you had a big weekend.
That was plus 565 this weekend.
That's a great weekend.
I crushed.
That was about what I was minus.
Oh.
I caught a break because Gleyber Torres didn't play the first game of the three-game series between the Yankees and Orioles, and he got a couple of hits Sunday, but he didn't hit any of them over a fence.
Started off great for me on Friday because I said Aaron Judge would hit a homer, and he did. And I was plus 200.
Absolutely did.
And nailed both my UFC fights.
Look at you.
And I got one of my two parlays for PLL. I was one goal away from winning both. Don't you hate when that happens?
That sucks.
Speaking of home runs, give me Kyle Schwarber hitting a home run today, plus 370.
I like that.
Yeah.
Schwarber plus 370, a home run. All right. The only thing that's going on really is baseball today.
Yeah.
The women's Euros, not till tomorrow. There's no credible soccer that I've ever recognized the team from at this point, so we're just going to go all baseball today. I will take the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
And because they are a very, very narrow home underdog to Tampa Bay, I'm going to take the Orioles, and I'm going to change the run line. I'm going to give a run and a half to Tampa at plus 190.
Okay. I'm going to go on a whim out here today. Someone's going to throw a no-hitter plus 2,800.
A no-hitter?
Yep.
Now, does this have to be an individual no-hitter, or can this be a team no-hitter?
It just says, will there be a no-hitter, yes or no?
Then a team no-hitter probably will count.
Yes.
So
I'm counting it.
Plus 2,800.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's worth it.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Me, especially.
Philadelphia at home hosting Atlanta. Phillies have been scuffling a little bit lately. They get off the schneid tonight. Philly at home plus 151 over Atlanta.
Okay. All right, Braves Phillies. I'm going back to that game.
Yeah.
The number of runs in the first inning, over 1.5 in the first inning of that game, plus 245.
I like that.
Yeah.
A little early jump, maybe Philly, maybe Schwarber will hit a two-run home run.
Exactly.
In the first.
Cash in on one play. That's my goal.
That would be a big day. All right. The Los Angeles Dodgers, who have the best record in the National League, hosting the Washington Nationals, about to be sold for parts to all all teams east, west, and north of Washington. I'll take the Dodgers. The Nats are in L.A. I'll take the Dodgers today to win. And Tony Gonsolin, the starter,
okay,
will have 7 or more strikeouts. So I need both of those things to happen at plus 300.
Okay.
Gonsolin to strike out 7 or more. Dodgers to win over the Nationals at plus 300.
Sounds promising.
So those are my offers. Got to start mixing in a win every once in a while, Dennis.
Yeah.
I've done a poor job of late. So,
well, it's because Hayes Permar was here.
Nah, I did well like the first day back or first 2 days back.
I'm going to blame Charlotte.
And then I went into the abyss. Well, you know what? That's fair. I think you can blame Charlotte for that.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.